So you do have, you know, within governments, the avenging of sin or those who practice evil. But what we see here with Joseph is we are not those in any way, shape, or form who deal with people's sin. God deals with people's sin. We share the truth of Scripture that they might be saved or that they might be warned concerning God's judgment.
Welcome to this new week of broadcasts of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Greg, as we come to the close of the book of Genesis, what's on deck to study next?
Well, Dave, I'm super excited because on Wednesday we begin a study of the book of Nehemiah, and we just finished that at our church, Equipping Bible Church, and so it was such a blessing for us, and I'm just praying it'll be a blessing for those who hear.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Greg. Now, today, as we come to the end of Genesis, you emphasize a scriptural admonition to all genuine believers that was exemplified by Joseph.
That's right, Dave. So let's find out what that admonition is as we continue our study of Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 26.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
We are never, ever to repay back evil for evil. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You may not be at peace, but as far as it depends on you. Never take your own revenge. Never. Never, ever, ever, ever take your own revenge, beloved. But leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You see, God is sovereign over dealing with sin. We are not those who deal with sin. We point people to God who deals with sin, whether it's through forgiveness or judgment, but we don't deal with sin. That's the problem. We want to retaliate. We want to make something right again through our own actions or whatever it might be. He says here, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy, obviously it's the one who's doing evil to you, is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. That's a quote of Proverbs. It's not that you're going to give him some food and go, ah, no. You're giving him food that they might be shamed. The burning coals was a sign of shame. They're ashamed of their behavior, that they might come to their senses and see the way they have treated you as shameful. Treat them right. Treat them in a godly way. Don't return evil for evil. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, when people wrong us, we can be overcome by evil and we can respond the wrong way. We can allow our emotions and our thoughts to go the wrong direction. We can be overcome by it, but we're not to. We're not to. God is the righteous judge. Joseph says, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? Am I the one who brings retaliation? Am I the one who deals with your sin? No, the implication, the answer is no. I don't stand in God's place. You know, the reality is God will avenge those who do evil. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, this is in the context of sexual relations and within the marriage and actually adultery. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but there's a principle here. Now, certainly, again, we admonish and we share, we point people to Christ for forgiveness of sins, but we do not avenge sin. We do not avenge sin. It is not our place. It is not our place when someone treats us wrongly to respond wrongly back to them. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Hey, it's God's will for you to be more like Jesus, to be set apart. That is, and now he's going to give a specific example, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. You know, those who don't know God just live in the context of their desires. And within the sexual area, it's lustful passion. Don't live that way. And notice what he says. and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter. Because why? Because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. This is pretty serious. Just as we told you before and solemnly warned you, God is going to take care of sin. You cannot get away with it at all. God is going to take care of it. He is the avenger of these things. You mess with someone else's husband or wife, God is the avenger of these things. God is the one who avenges. Hebrews 13:4, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Now praise the Lord that before we came to faith, we were identified by our sin. We were fornicators, adulterers, whatever it was. But we were washed, we were sanctified, we were cleansed. But God is the avenger of sin. It is not within the sphere of man to bring about avenging of sin or retaliation. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? Am I in God's place?" It's not for us to do that. It is not our position to judge or punish anyone for their sin. Now I need to clarify, we do make judgments concerning sin in the body of Christ for the sake of restoration, reconciliation, or protection of the body. We do make judgments, but we don't judge. 1 Corinthians 5, Matthew 18, Galatians 6, 1 Thessalonians 5, Romans 16, Titus 3, we do admonish, we do make judgments, but we are not the judge. We do not pronounce the sentence. We do not bring vengeance upon evildoers. God is the judge. Joseph says, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place?" Don't be afraid. Now, it's true that God has placed men in authority who avenge evil. We have governments. Romans 13. Turn there for a second. There are governmental authorities who avenge for God. Yes, but they avenge for God concerning wickedness. But we are not those to do that. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every person be in subject to the governing authorities. That was Rome at the time, and they weren't the greatest, right? For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, verse 2, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed and will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. So you do have, you know, within governments, the avenging of sin or those who practice evil. But what we see here with Joseph is we are not those in any way, shape, or form who deal with people's sin. God deals with people's sin. We share the truth of Scripture that they might be saved or that they might be warned concerning God's judgment. We do not judge or punish anyone for their sin. We do not return evil for evil. We leave room for the wrath of God. That frees you up. That frees you up to be kind. It frees you up to trust the Lord because God's going to take care of it. Nothing passes by the righteous judge. If they don't repent, God will take care of it. Yes, we do make judgments concerning sin in the body of Christ for the sake of restoration, reconciliation, protection of the body, but we are not the judges who pronounce sentence and punish. Joseph understood this. And with that, there's a great release of concern concerning what happens to us. But Joseph said to them back in Genesis 50, verse 19, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? Don't be afraid I'm going to retaliate against you for your evil you did to me. Don't be afraid. Am I in God's place?" Tremendous principle. Brother and sister, do by faith you allow room for the wrath of God and hopefully repentance before that wrath comes, I hope. I hope you're patient like God is, wanting people to come to faith. Do you leave room for the wrath of God? Is there anyone in your life that you are effectively punishing through your actions because they have sinned against you? You need to confess it. It's returning evil for evil. I'm not talking about righteous actions according to Scripture. I'm talking about punishing them for what they have done to you through your actions. And you know if you are doing that. You know it. And you need to confess it and be set free. Again, I'm not talking about addressing things biblically, which might cause separations at times. I'm talking about punishing people when they've wronged you and sinned against you. Do you stand in God's place? Confess it. God is the judge. Let it go. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Never repay evil for evil. Never. Never take revenge. Never. Joseph says, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? You see, God is the judge, and God will judge sin. God is a righteous judge. You think of a judge in a courtroom. If some child molester comes in, he says, not guilty. All the facts are there. He's guilty. That's an unrighteous judge. A righteous judge would institute the punishment appropriate to the crime. There's a lot of passages in Scripture concerning judgment. Joseph understood it's in God's hands. Am I in God's place? Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. You see, when we understand God's judgment, we can let it go. We can let everything go. That doesn't mean we let people walk all over us. We have biblical boundaries we love in the context of trusting the Lord. But we can let it go in our hearts. And we can trust the Lord to work it out, either through salvation or judgment. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Jesus is reproaching the cities that had all kinds of miracles and they didn't believe and repent. Chapter 11, verse 20 of Matthew. Then he began to reproach the cities in which most his miracles were done because they did not what? Repent. You see, the miracles affirmed who Christ really was, and he had brought the gospel from the beginning, the good news. And he says, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in what? The day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, you will not be exalted to heaven. Well, you think you're going to heaven. You think so? He says, you will descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, that was a wicked place, right? Which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. That means they would have repented and not been destroyed. Nevertheless, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. There is a day of judgment. It is appointed man once to die and then the judgment. You will stand before God and give an account. Now we'll talk about believers and non-believers in a second. Turn to Acts chapter 17. Joseph knew he was not in God's place, but God does have a place. God's place is to judge evil and sin. That is God's place. That is God's place. Acts chapter 17, the apostle Paul is cruising around in Athens, and he's getting disturbed by all the idols and stuff. And he starts to share, ultimately gets to the gospel with these wise guys there. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent. That's everybody, everyone. God's declaring to you right now and declaring to us. Why should you repent? Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. He has fixed a judgment day. There is a judgment day. For every sin you've ever committed, for every wrong thought, for everything, no one will get away with anything. Not one single word or thought. Now we'll talk about believers versus non-believers. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and we see who is the judge. God is the judge, but God has given all judgment to the Son. John chapter 5, verse 21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. John 5, 22. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. You see, the reality is there is a judgment day. Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne judgment. You see, the wages of sin is death. Satan has always tried to say there's no death, as we're going to see later on here in our summary of Genesis. You won't surely die. You're not going to experience the second death in the lake of fire. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie. There is a judgment day. We see in Revelation chapter 20 that death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You see, it is only through the person of Jesus Christ that one escapes judgment. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, and you got to acknowledge your sins. And you can't fool God if you're not completely humbled, acknowledging your sinfulness rightly before him. You're not going to be saved. And when you acknowledge your sin and believe that Jesus died for your sins, he bore all of them on the cross and rose from the dead, we are delivered from God's judgment because we have the righteousness of Christ. You see, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. You see, all of us like sheep have gone astray, but he has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. But you got to admit it. You got to turn to Jesus. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. A lot of people raise hands, do certain things. Yeah, ha, you know, have you from your heart seen your true need for salvation to be delivered from judgment for your sin? The judgment and punishment that God will bring. I pray there's not one person here that isn't saved, that isn't listening and get saved. You could die today and you will stand before the Lord and you will be judged and you will be punished for eternity. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the conclusion when all has been said and heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether good or evil. Joseph understood God is the judge. Am I in God's place? God's going to take care of that. He's the righteous judge. And that frees you up to treat people rightly, by the way, if you're a believer. It frees you up to leave it all in his hands. You pray that they repent, but if they don't, God will take care of it. Don't you dare retaliate with your attitudes, actions, words, whatever it might be. Don't retaliate, no matter how evil someone is towards you. Don't retaliate. Now, one last thing. We do need to recognize as believers there is a judgment for us, but it's not in regards to sin. Our sins are as far as the east as the west, but there is a judgment seat. We will all stand before that. Let me share a couple passages. 1 Corinthians 3. You know, you don't want to live your life for yourself and realize, yes, okay, I was saved, but I get in through the smoke in my clothes. I want to live for Christ completely. All the things that tempt me every day, all the stuff around us, throw it out. Walk away from it. Walk away from the world and walk with Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me. Paul always gives God the glory for the gifting he's been given. It's God's grace. I can't do it. As a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. He's talking about the church. And he laid the foundation with the word of God. And another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built upon it, remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss. Now, that's eternal reward or eternal loss. That's loss forever or reward forever. It's pretty significant. But he himself shall be saved, yet as through fire. If you're playing games with God, stop playing games. If you're a true believer, confess your sins, start following Christ wholeheartedly, serve him. There's a judgment for us, but it's different. Romans 14, verse 10. He says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You know, yes, we're forgiven, but how we live this life now, we will give an account for it. Why we didn't trust him, why we did those things. And one last passage for believers. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Sin is taken care of. Praise the Lord. But what you do now that sin has been taken care of affects your eternity concerning rewards and loss of rewards. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, whether I'm in the body or whether I'm dead, absent from the body with the Lord, that's the context, we have it as our ambition to be pleasing. I hope that's your ambition, to please the Lord. I hope you don't just get up in the day to do your own thing and live your life. Who cares? I hope it's your ambition. That only comes through a changed heart, and Christ will do that in you if you are willing. If it is not your ambition, you go to the Lord. Lord God, help me to have a desire to please you. It's a prayer God will answer. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. God is a righteous judge. That's talking about rewards, not punishment for sin. So we see Joseph understood, am I in God's place? God's place as the judge of sin and sinners. And you see that freed him up to respond rightly and graciously to those who had harmed him greatly. Now, Joseph also understood not only God's character as the righteous judge, but he also understood God's sovereignty. Look back in Genesis chapter 50. Again, verse 19. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? They were afraid. Joseph's going to retaliate. They sinned greatly against him. He says, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? And notice verse 21. So there, do not be afraid. So that's a do not be afraid sandwich, right? And what's in the middle? The middle is God is the judge. He's taking care of that, not me. And secondly, God takes evil and turns it for good. Look at this. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm not the judge. Fear God, by the way, is implied in that, right? You better be right with the Lord. Don't need to fear me. And guess what? God took your evil and he turned it to good.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, at the beginning of today's program, I called attention to a spiritual admonition exemplified by Joseph, which is to be obeyed by all who are in Christ.
And Dave, that admonition is that we are never to return evil for evil. You know, Joseph endured incredible abuse and injustice by his brothers. He was sold into slavery, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and forgotten by a fellow prisoner whom he had helped get out of jail. And through it all, Joseph remained obedient to the Lord, trusting him. And the Lord took care of Joseph in one of the grandest of ways, as we see now. Now with his brothers before him, and second only to Pharaoh in all Egypt, Joseph had the reason and the power to judge and punish his brothers. Yet instead, he recognized the sovereignty and almighty power of God in using the mistreatment of his brothers for good. Are you a genuine victim of mistreatment? I bet none of us have suffered as Joseph suffered, yet observe his trust in the Lord. God knows all about it, believer.
trust Him to work out what was meant for evil, to work it for good.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.